It's good to be with you today. Last Sunday I was not here. I was with a small congregation in the Paradise area, about 65 of us. It's actually all my family. But we're getting to be quite the crew when we get together anymore. And it's a lot of fun to just to be with family. And I was reflecting on that and contemplating what family is. And some of the things that I saw at that Christmas dinner was, you know, man, us brothers, we're getting old. There was only two of us playing in the basketball tournament this year at our Christmas dinner. My nephews, they're getting old too. They didn't all play anymore. Some of them were 40 years old already. But then you go down another generation and there's these grandbabies, or not the grandbabies, sorry, the great-grandbabies that are coming on, and there's just a whole new level of life there, and it's just incredible to see the cycles of life and how that continues to go. And you got mom and dad there who they're getting older, we know that, but they really enjoyed the day, seeing the new life that's coming from the family. So that was the one thing I was thinking about last Sunday as we had church together and played basketball together, and then actually watched the Eagles game together. And some of you may have seen some incriminating evidence of us having a lot of joy at that, but that's all right. We had a good time together. So my sermon this morning is entitled Think on These Things. And it has a lot to do with how we meditate or how we think, what we set our minds on. And I was going to say, you know, it's great to have a small crowd here this morning. So I wanted us to have a time of interaction together, and we're still gonna, but I mean, there was like 50 people here when I first got here. Maybe if I preach really long, we can overflow into the kitchen. I mean, it just kept coming in throughout. That's all right. But we want to take a look at what biblical meditation is and how we do that, and what we set our minds on, you've heard of the saying, what goes in must come out. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. I would love this morning, as we look at this subject of meditation, I would love to see how it could affect our lives in a way that honors God. You know, we often talk about intentionality and how important it is to live life or to live lives that are meaningful and God-honoring. I believe that biblical meditation can transform our lives by seeking His truth and what He has done. So my text is one simple verse. I know there's a lot of verses on meditation, but I'm gonna boil it down to one thing to make it really practical for us today. So turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And I'm going to be looking at a few references this morning, so I would love if we're going to take the time to turn to them today. So if you have your Bibles, open them up and get those phones working. Keep them on the Bible app. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's my text. So out of that text, I'm going to talk about meditation. Let's just take a look at what biblical meditation is. And as I talk today, I want you to keep this verse in front of you, and I want you to begin to think about these things. What is lovely? What is noble? What is a good report? What is true? And there's going to be time later in the sermon for you to speak into what you see as being true or what you see as a good report. And we're going to talk about it. We're not going to use the mics. So when it's your turn to share, I would just ask that you share it loudly so everybody can hear it. I'll repeat it for those that can't. Okay? So we're going to get into that later in the sermon today. So what is biblical meditation? Let's just start with what it's not, okay? Biblical meditation is not what is practiced in Eastern religions. It's not sitting on a tree branch or perched on one foot with your legs crossed going like that. That's not biblical meditation. And, you know, I think as Christians, we sort of get the we get the view that meditation is sort of bad because of the counterfeit that Satan has created with that. So it's not what's practiced in Eastern religions. You know, in those religions, the object is to experience truth or peace or being that is inexpressible. They're trying to experience truth, okay? That's what they're trying to get. They're trying to experience it. And we'll get into what the opposite of that is with what we believe is meditation. Biblical meditation is not what is practiced by so-called Christian mystics. Examples of this could be Catholicism or Quakers even. And they meditate to experience God or to receive a revelation. Okay, I don't think that's what biblical meditation is. Both Eastern and so-called Christian mystical meditation usually tries to empty your mind to find the truth. You empty your mind to find the truth. That's what Eastern meditation looks like. So let's look at what it is. Meditation is to dwell on a truth or reality that is already revealed. Okay? So I'll give you an example of that. When you were driving here this morning, you saw incredible beauty, right? All right? For the drivers, I don't think you were too, I don't think you were watching the road that closely that you couldn't see the countryside and how beautiful it was. You see, that's God's creation. That's something that's been revealed to us. We're not worshiping the creation, but it's been revealed to us in such a way that it's just, you can see God's glory in his creation. In Genesis, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Sometimes I don't think we stop and reflect on the beauty that God's created all around us. So that's just an example of what, so we can think about that, and we say, and we can have the reaction, so the truth is that it snowed last night, and it's beautiful. And we can think about that, and we can come to the conclusion, what an amazing God we serve. You know, isn't it incredible that you have this degree line of 32 degrees, and if the clouds decide to drop their moisture, if it's above that, it comes down as rain, and just at that degree level, if it comes down, it becomes white and it's snow. Now, you may think that's not a big deal, but that's such a truth, that's such a constant, that 32 degrees. There's other constants in temperature too, and I know this because I work with candy. Did you know that when you make a certain, when you heat like corn syrup and sugar to a certain level, it becomes a hard candy. And that degree is 300 degrees. It's not 296, it's not 298, it's 300 degrees. If you don't quite get to that, it becomes sticky and it's not quite hard. But when it gets to that certain level, all of a sudden, it becomes a hard candy when it cools. Now, you would think that it won't be that quite that exact, but it is. And it's the same way with snow and rain. And the difference of walking outside when it's raining and snowing, that's quite a difference, right? For me, it is anyhow. My kids were making fun of me because I kept watching the snowfall last night and I kept trying to get updates from them. Hey, is the ground white yet? And finally, it started snowing, the ground was white, and I was trying to figure out, well, do I really put my all into the sermon this morning, or do I wait till tomorrow morning to see if we have... And so, yeah, again, what it is to dwell on a truth that's already revealed. So creation is a truth that's here, and we can think about what that looks like. So again, here's some examples from the Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 63:6. Psalm 63:6. Psalm 63:6, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. You know, the truth that's been already revealed to us is who God is. Dwight, and I forget the exact words of some of the songs you were singing, but it was talking about remembering what God has done for us, and that's not the right words. I wish I could think of it. There was such a remembering what God has done for us. That's a truth, and we should be thinking about that. We should be meditating on our conversion experience, the day we were converted, or what God has done for us. I know something that hit me really strong over Christmas was the name of God, God Emmanuel, God is with us. That's a truth. Even in our hardest times, God is with us. And I saw it. Forgive me if I told this story, but there was a package came on a porch when it was particularly hard for my daughter as she still mourning Sarah's death. And it was a package that had on, it was a blanket, had a picture of London. Now, if you get the background on the story, 2 weeks after Sarah passed, the youth group went to London. It was a really hard time for my daughter. And not only that, Sarah and Kaylin had been, they were planning to go to London when they were 21. But not only that, when the youth group was in London, Big Ben, the tower that's on this picture, was under construction. It was all scaffolded and it wasn't really that beautiful because there was scaffolding all over it. But in the year 2021, when they were going to go, it was supposed to be finished that year. Now, how does she receive a package with that gift, with that kind of meaning? But that's not the whole story. That package was given by Lisa Ressler, who was going randomly into a store to buy dish soap. And she comes out of the store, and as she's on her way out, she sees this blanket. And she feels really strongly that she should purchase this blanket. You tell me if God is with us. That's a truth that we can meditate on, that we can ponder. Psalm 77, verse 12. Psalm 77, verse 12. Says this, I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Do you ever stop and think about the mighty deeds of God? Let's start with this. How about your body, for example? Can some nurse or some doctor in this room tell me how a piece of meat inside your chest can beat at a consistent rate every moment of your life? Now, I can understand a car engine, okay? That gets its energy from the combustible gas in the end. There has to be an energy there for the engine to start working. I can get how a keyboard works. You plug it into the wall, and it's from a power source that powers that. I get that. But tell me again how a muscle, or as I said in my Bible class this week, how a piece of meat can actually constrict on a regular basis and pump blood through your body to sustain life. Can anybody answer that question here? Is anybody smart enough for that? Jessica, you're a really smart person. Not that smart. Think about that. What starts the heart? And you can say, it's an electric impulse. I'll buy that. But where did that come from? It's truly amazing when you stop and ponder and think about it. What about your eye? Do you think about your eye lately? As I'm looking into your eyes as I search around the room, how can you even see me? Like if I would take my eye out, which I hope I'm not grossing anybody out. If I would take my eye out, it's just a mushy thing, but yet it processes light that I can actually see an image that I know you're here, Jay. Isn't that weird? That this thing can actually see. Or how about your ear? Do you know if you won't have your ear, I wouldn't be making a sound. If you won't have an ear, I wouldn't be making a sound. All that you're hearing right now is vibrations. And it goes in your ear and it processes the vibrations where it actually can hear consonant and vowels and put words together. Again, I'm not very smart, but that amazes me. But I haven't even touched on your molecular makeup and the DNA that makes exactly you. There is billions of cells in your body. Billions. And in each one of them is like a motor that processes DNA and protein, or processes proteins in every cell. Everything is moving like a machine in every cell. Now stop and think. Can you feel it? No, you can't. But there's billions of them working in there right now as you speak. It's truly phenomenal. That's just your body. But you guys have been many places where you were just awed by God's creation, right? You were just awed by what he had, what was there. I've been some places, and whew, I remember that one place in Idaho we were in. We were on top of a grassy meadow on top of a high mountain. I have never been in a more beautiful spot in my life as we ate supper there that evening. It was amazing. You could feel the presence of God. It was that beautiful. Not that I was worshiping creation, I was worshiping the Creator. Psalm 119:15. Psalm 119:15. Psalm 119:15. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. Here he's saying he meditates on his precepts or on his word. You know, there's so many things in God's word when you're reading it. Like I've read this Bible many times, and I can read a passage that I've read before, and depending how I'm feeling that day or what's bothering me or where I'm at in life, it hits me in a totally different way when you meditate on the precepts of God. I find that incredible that the Bible, like the Christmas story, there's been very few Christmases when I stop to meditate about what he's done for us that I haven't thought about something different in the Christmas story. Then Philippians 4:8, he wants us to think about, I read this at the beginning, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure and lovely and a good report. Again, just remember, I'm going to be asking you to think about those things and what meditating on those things might look like. So that's what meditation is. Just to recap it again, is to dwell on a truth or reality that has already been revealed. So why should we meditate? Turn to Hebrews chapter 40, verse 31. I'll try and quote it. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait or to meditate. You know, that phrase in there, they shall run and not be weary. I sort of know what running and weary is about after yesterday. I was trying to play basketball in a basketball tournament. And for me, three trips up and down the court is about too many. But that's not even what he's talking about. He's talking about this race in life. But I do get what it is to be weary with life. I do get how hard life can be. I get that. I've experienced it. And I know you have too. This verse I had in my office for quite a number of years. And I have a co-worker that lost her son when she was 5. And that was that on his cancer journey, even at 4 years old. That was his very favorite verse. And he believed that verse with all his heart. Even when he was at his weakest ebb, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So that's one reason. I think it brings us joy It brings us strength when we think, when we meditate on God and His Word. The second thing it does, it helps us to transform. It helps us to transform. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Again, you can turn with me there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, says this: For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. To become more like Christ, to conform to His image, to be transformed is one reason we meditate. I don't know what you strive to do in your life, but I don't always strive. I wish I could tell you as a pastor that I strive to be like Christ every day I wake up. But that's what He's calling us to do. To strive to become more like Christ, to be transformed. I think we would save ourselves so much hassle if we would put on Christ to be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about this transformation. It says, Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It says, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind is what we're talking about here. To transform, you have to think different thoughts than what's originally inside your head. That's called transformation. You need to replace the old thought with new to create new habits and new patterns. So if you're struggling with a thought pattern, you will never conquer it by just saying you're going to quit. You will never conquer it, I promise you. The only way you can conquer a habit or a pattern is to replace it with another one. And I'll just give you a simple illustration. If you don't brush your teeth, that's your pattern. You may go to the dentist and you have 10 cavities. And you come home and you say, I got a problem here. I got 10 cavities this time. This isn't a hard illustration for me to understand because it happened to me. He asked me, sorry, I feel like I'm digressing some. He asked me, did anything change in you? Like, I had no cavities up to that point. He said, did anything change in your habits or patterns? I said, yeah, I bought a candy stand. But in order to replace, I had to pick up a toothbrush and start brushing my teeth every day. Not just every once in a while, every day. And that may sound gross to you, but I had to get it. And I'm sure not all of you brush your teeth every day either. So, you need to replace a bad habit with something good. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this. Set your mind on things above. Okay? You need to meditate to set your minds on things above if you want a lasting change in your life. Many Christians fail because we meditate or we think about the wrong things. I just want to look at Romans 8, 5, and 8. So much good stuff in the book of Romans. It says this, Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Like I mentioned, it's not going to change unless you change the habit and replace it with something that God is putting there in its stead. So the third thing is, how do we meditate? I just want you to know that your mind is affected by even casual stuff. Okay, there was a study at Stanford done just studying media, whatever. That's not my sermon today. But they really realized that some of the stuff goes in basically unnoticed, and all of a sudden there's a habit and a pattern there. And that was the basis of their study. Even what we put in our minds casually has a deep effect on who we are as people. Fill your mind with positive and spiritual thoughts. Now, I'm not the type of person, oh, you got to think positive all the time. That doesn't work for me. I don't do that. But I want you to fill it with spiritual thoughts and to meditate on what God has in that situation instead of what we think our human reaction might be. You know, meditation, and I got to be careful here, or to think on these things, I don't think it has to be just scripture. It says in that passage I read in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things, or whatever things are true and noble and pure. It said, think on those things. Another way to, I think a good way to meditate is read through the Psalms and Proverbs. You know, David was such a person like us. He struggled with so many things that I struggle with. And when I meditate on his life and how he dealt with it, it helps me to change habits. So what do we meditate on? So here's where you guys come in. I'm going to take one of these at a time, and I want you to tell me, first of all, what is true? What do you know is true? That's the first thing this morning. Someone call one out, and we'll talk about it. What is true?
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a pretty incredible verse to meditate on. What else is true? God is good. Love it. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Good. Our God is our Savior. Is history true? Is history true? Depends on fake news or not. No, history's true. It happened, right? It's true. Think about your life. I want you to think about how true history is. Think about your life. And I think if we sit here and be honest with each one of us, we look at history and we would be like, man, some of the things I did in my life, it's pretty pathetic. But you know, even because history's true, that has helped me to become a better person. Because I've felt the consequences of some of the stuff I've done in history, and it's made me a better person. So when I think and I contemplate about some of the mistakes I made, when I think about some of the things that I did right, I think it helps us to strengthen our relationship with Christ. So history is a true thing. Any other true things that you were thinking of? You are a person of value. Did you hear that? Listen to that real close. Each one of you. From Megan the whole way, yeah, you know, the whole way around here, to Merv sitting on the other end. You are a person of value. I just want you to know that. That's a truth. So what is noble? What would you consider noble? What is noble? It's not a word we use in our everyday language, but I think there's a really good meaning to it. Sam, do you have one? I see you thinking there. Okay. Worthy of respect. Okay. So how you live your life, knowing that people look up to you, look at you and see your life, how you live that's really important. It's honorable. Excellent. It says the marriage bed is honorable. Can it be dishonorable? Absolutely. But I want you to think about what makes your marriage honorable. It's when you go out of your way to do something for your spouse. It's when you respect and you honor and you care for. I want you to think about what makes your marriage that way. What else is noble? All right, you guys know when Norman speaks, you better listen, right? Returning good for evil, that's honorable. That's noble.
Above reproach.
Good. You know, I saw some honor and some nobility yesterday. And it had to do with a pretty awful job. I saw Vernon taking out a pot out of Kent's rental house, which was totally trashed. I felt really awful for Kent. I've never seen a house in worse condition in my life, worst living conditions ever. And that's what that house was. And I saw 10, 12 guys putting masks over their faces to not throw up because of the incredible smells coming out of that house and ripping out carpets and ceiling tile. And it was just really shouldn't have been touched by a human. But they did it. That's honorable. Thank you. So what about just? What comes to your mind when you think of the word just? Just. What do you got?
God's judgment day.
God's judgment day. We're going to take into account what we've done here on this earth. It's also a truth. That is true. Yeah. What else comes to mind when you think of just? Treating people fairly. Kelsey, what do you think of when you think of just? Righteous. How you run your business. Is that a just thing? You business owners out there, I want you to think about how you can run your business justly. How you treat your employees. How you treat your customers. I think there's a verse that talks about make sure your balance, is equal. In other words, it's just. What they're getting for your service is worth it. Okay? That's just. So think about that as you think about your business. How about, let's go on to pure. What comes to mind when you think about pure?
Snow.
Perfect. Snow. It's pure. It's just white. It's clean. Could have used some clean yesterday. Forgiveness. That's pure. When you forgive, all of a sudden it restores relationship. That's pure. Without sin. What about personal purity? Where are you at? I want you to meditate about where you're at inside. I can see you're outside. I can see all of you. Can't see in here. But when you meditate about what's in here, you become a better person. Because you start, not just a better person, but you become more like Christ. Okay? You're pure. And then let's think about lovely for a little bit. What would you say is lovely? Brownie points.
Help somebody,
that's lovely. One more, what's lovely? Creation is lovely, love it. Here's one for you. Something that I get incredible satisfaction with is when I see somebody using their talents in the way they were created for. That is lovely to me, I love that. I love when people use their creativity, their talents, and they use it in such a way that it blesses someone. That is lovely. I love that. No pun intended. And let's talk about good report as the last one. What would you say is good report?
Good report is the person who do good job.
Good job. That's a good report. You do something, and I think good report has a lot to do with encouragement. You give that person a good report or they've done a job so well that they get a good report for what they've done. It's effective in business, I know that, when you get a reference. When you have a good report, your business grows when you get a good report. And the other thing I was thinking about with good report is, you know, there's so much negative in the news in our world. We need people reporting the good stuff. We need people to do good stuff. But we also people need to report good stuff. So, of good report. So, guys, as I close up today, I want you to think about these things. Take some time this week just to ponder this verse, Philippians 4:8. What does it mean for your family? What does it mean for you as an individual, personally? What does it mean as a child? What does it mean as a husband and wife? What does it mean as an employer, as an employee? So today we looked at meditation, and I know I didn't cover everything there is on meditation, but I want you to think deeply, to meditate on what it is.
and how you do it and the benefits of it. So we looked about what it is not, and it is not, again, it is not an experience to gain a new truth, a peace, or a revelation. That's not what it's about. But rather it's to dwell on what is true and what is real. Why do we do it? Because it brings strength and it has the ability to transform our lives. And then how do we do it? We follow the advice of Psalms and Proverbs and the things that we can meditate on, like the exercise we just did here at the end of the service. I'm going to close with this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is true, that we can meditate on it, and it has the ability to transform us. Thank you for your person, for who you are, the names of who you are. Thank you for the truth that they can give us each and every day, especially when it's a struggle and when we're down. And Lord, I just pray that we could just meditate on Philippians 4:8 this week and think about whatsoever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and a good report. Lord, let our meditation be acceptable in your sight. Amen.